This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
We're talking about, you know, how healing trauma could be, you know, the cure the world needs. And today's guest is so inspiring because in 1990, he received a letter bomb from the apartheid regime, resulting in, you know, in the loss of both his hands and an eye. Despite this, he transformed his pain into a mission to help, you know, others heal. This is so inspiring.
No, it is. Absolutely. It is inspiring. And today we are talking to the founder of the Institute for Healing of Memories, Father Michael Lapsley, who's joining us on the line. Good morning, Father. How are you?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Very well indeed. Not bad for 6:39 on a Thursday morning.
Are you an early morning kind of person or not?
No. As you know, the real division of the human race is not black and white, gay or straight. It's whether you're a morning person or a night person.
I agree.
I'm a night person.
I definitely agree. And we really appreciate you, you know, fighting the nocturnal nature and just coming in the morning. Really appreciate it.
Now, it's
Father,
a pleasure.
We would like to, you know, to know more as a way to start the conversation, to know more about the Institute for Healing of Memories and what its actual aim is.
Yeah, no, thank you. We say that, I mean, maybe just taking back a step, the Institute started in 1998. When I came back from South Africa from exile in 93, I discovered a wounded nation, wounded our humanity by what we'd done, what had been done to us, and what we failed to do. And all of us with a story to tell. And it was in the days before the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And I asked the question, how many people will come to the commission? The answer was 23,000 people. But we're a nation of, 45, 50 million people. So my question was, what happens to everybody else's stories? I mean, just to give one example, 3.5 million people were forcibly removed from their homes. Imagine the major trauma and pain of that. I also reflected on what helped me to heal. And so then we developed a process called the healing of the memories, creating safe and sacred spaces where people could tell each other their stories, but not just tell each other their stories, deal with what they had inside them. I mean, millions of people had good reasons to hate, to be bitter, to be angry, to want revenge, all of that. Yet all of those feelings inside of us eventually destroy us and all the people around us. So we created, as I say, this experiential process that we came to call a healing of the memories workshop. And so that remains our core business, but not just with the effects of apartheid. It was also the period where HIV and AIDS was exploding in our country. And so again, people needed space, not just to have antiretrovirals, but to deal with the emotional, spiritual, psychological effects of living with the pandemic. And so really that's continued to be the core business, these healing of memories workshops. We also have community dialogues that people speak about, for example, xenophobia or gang violence, whatever it is, creating spaces where communities can speak what they have in their hearts, but also themselves find solutions and a way forward, and also work with young people we call restoring humanity. Young people also are affected by the wounds of their parents and grandparents, but they have their own challenges around identity, for example. So those are some of the things. Does it make sense to you?
No,
early
does.
In the morning
it and, does
and 41.
And you know what, Father, because usually on a personal level, when I think about trauma, you think about it as that, as a personal, you know, that happens from individual to individual. I've never thought about it on a national kind of level where a country, a nation can have trauma that is shared. And I think from what you've explained, it really makes a lot of sense in terms of how it might have affected us as a society. But once we recognize that there is unresolved trauma, and perhaps we see it in, you know, when there's gender-based violence, xenophobic attacks, breakdown in community and all of that. How do we even start the process of healing? Like, where do we start and how do we even go about that?
I think some of these things, you know, like the scourge of gender-based violence, I think there can be multiple strategies and even different ways of healing. And some people will need psychological intervention from a psychologist or a therapist. But as many of us, after we've experienced wounds or trauma, we still get up in the morning, we still go to work, we still do our thing. But we have unfinished business. We have stuff in our hearts. So this is where our kind of work comes into its own. I don't know if you remember the time that Winnie Mandela passed away. There was a very interesting speech by President Ramaphosa in which he talked about us being a wounded nation. And I often think about that. But it's like a cliche, but it's true that we either transform pain and trauma or we transmit it. And I think this is one of the elements of gender-based violence, where men haven't dealt with their own stuff, and they go on to wound their kids, their loved ones, their women around them. And so the trauma continues. Then it becomes intergenerational as well. People in prison, if you listen to their stories, most of them who've done terrible things, they were victims themselves before they became perpetrators. So again, you have this cycle continuing. And so one of the places we work is in prisons, creating the spaces where guys and women in prison can deal to get with their own stuff, what's happened to them, and try and find a life-giving way forward.
Sure. And Father, maybe let's look at some of the lessons from your work, which we understand that has now been adopted across 25 countries, showcasing how trauma healing can prevent cycles of violence and also restore hope in affected communities. Also, how it can contribute to building a compassionate community. Talk us through that.
Well, you know, wherever there's been war and conflict, you know, eventually the guns fall silent, but they often don't feel fall silent in the bedroom. So what part of the work we do in South Africa is with ex-combatants, and we work with military formations of the liberation movement, but also those who were part of the old South African Defence Force, creating spaces where former soldiers can tell each other their stories and deal with their woundedness. And often people don't want to hear that as well. We equally work with ex-combatants in the United States of America, and you know many other countries. And I think what's interesting in our work, for example, with military veterans in South Africa, some of them have been through our processes, have now become activists against gender-based violence. So they've moved from their own wounds to helping heal the wounds of others. So you know, we have a commitment to, if you like, seeking to contribute to healing the wounds of history. I think, but you ask where it begins. I think it begins when we recognize the woundedness. We recognize that, yes, we have these feelings in us. Once you recognize your own woundedness, then you can begin to face it, acknowledge it, begin to work through. But it can be a journey of many years, not just of 5 minutes. We say to people, come to our workshops. We promise you one step on the road to healing. But if you're sharing for the first time something that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago, it can be life-changing. I mean, often, for example, people in midlife talk about the effect of bullying when they were a child, or maybe they were molested as a child, and they tried to tell an adult, and they were brushed aside. So they bury it within them until they find, finally, a safe space where it can be heard and acknowledged and believed.
Sure. That's a very important conversation, Father. Thank you so much for coming through and, you know, sharing with us the amazing work that you do. And may you continue helping us heal as a nation. That's the founder of the Institute for Healing of Memories, Father Michael Lapsley.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.